Okay, so we're recording.
That's big enough?
That's great. Yeah, that's great. Okay, so we're going to start. Tonight's shiur is also in Maseches Megillah, towards the end of the Masechta. We'll continue this format, so in Mitzvah Shem next week we'll try to speak about some Moed Katan in Yanim, which would be related to Chol HaMoed. Okay, so the Mishnah says in Maseches Megillah, Chaf Gimel Lamed Beis, Ein Parsin Al Shma. So we'll see in a moment, in a bit more detail, what exactly this means. But Bekitzer, what it means is the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu that precedes the Birkas Kriya Shma. So the Mishnah is enumerating all of the different things that require a minyan, because it's a Davar Shebikdusha. So the first item on the list is Ein Parsin Al Shema. So you can't recite the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu that precedes the Birkas Kriya Shema without a minyan. Ein Oivrin Lefnei HaTeva. You can't have someone go before the Teva, before the Aron Kodesh, before the Ark, for the Chazaras HaShatz without a minyan. Ein Noitzin Es Kapeyem. You can't Duchen. So in Eretz Yisrael, they Duchen every day. There's a discussion about that. We here in Chutz La'aretz, we duchen on Yom Tov. So you would not be able to have the Birkas Kohanim in the Chazaras HaShatz without a minyan. Ein Koirin Batoira. You're not allowed to lane if it's a Monday and Thursday or a Shabbos. You can't lane without a minyan. Ve'ein Maftirin B'Navi Pachas Mi'asara. And you can't have the Haftorah from the Navi without a minyan less than 10. So on Shabbos or on a fast day, a Yom Tov, whenever there's a Haftorah, you have to have a minyan. So this question, an obvious question that the Ran asks, Michael, we were speaking about this. The obvious question that the Ran asks, and I'm sure is bothering you, is the Mishnah is giving us a list of items that are really in chronological order of the davening. The Kaddish and the Baruch Hu, that's Parsin Al Shema, that precedes the Birkas Kriya Shema. Then we have the Chazaras HaShatz. Then we have the Duchening, the Birkas Kohanim, which is in the Chazaras HaShatz. Then we have laning from the Torah. And then we have the Half Torah. All of these things require a minyan. So the obvious question is, the Ran asks, suffice it to say that you require a minyan for Kaddish and Baruch Hu, and then you have your minyan. So once you have your minyan for Kaddish and Baruch Hu, so then you'll be able to recite the Chazaras HaShatz, the Duchening, the Birkas Kohanim, and the Kriyas HaTorah, and the Haftorah. Why do we have to say that each of these items require a minyan? So the Ran answer is based on Yerushalmi, which is a halacha that we're all familiar with. As long as you start with the minyan, you can complete that section of the tefillah, even if a minority of the minyan leaves. You still have to have the majority of the minyan. You still have to have six people remaining. But as long as you started with a minyan, you can complete that section. And that's a Yerushalmi. And the Ran brings that Yerushalmi to shed light on this list. That's why it's relevant to say that you can't recite Kaddish and Baruch Hu without a minyan. However, if you started reciting the Kaddish, you can complete the Kaddish and Baruch Hu. What if your minyan leaves? So it's relevant to say that you require another minyan for Chazaras HaShatz, because the Chazaras HaShatz is another section of the davening. And the same thing applies with the next item on the list. You can complete the entire Chazaras HaShatz even if you lose your minyan, but you would not be able to have the Birkas Kohanim on a Yom Tov or every day in Eretz Yisrael, even if you're completing the Chazaras HaShatz. So imagine if we started the Chazaras HaShatz, even though we normally associate the Birkas Kohanim within the Chazaras HaShatz, but because technically it's another item, we just plunk it down in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz, but really it's a separate section. So if you lose your minyan in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz, you can continue and complete the Chazaras HaShatz, but you have to forego the Birkas Kohanim, because technically that's another item which requires a minyan in its own right. And then the same thing would apply if we finish the Chazaras HaShatz. If we finish the Chazaras HaShatz, then you will not, if we lose our minion, you will not be able to lane. So even though you had your minion for the Chazaras HaShatz, but the Kriyas HaTorah is another section. And then the same thing applies to the Haftorah. Even if you had a minion for the Kriyas HaTorah, the Haftorah is a separate takana, it's a separate section, and you would not be able to ride on the coattails of the Kriyas HaTorah because the Haftorah is a separate independent section which requires a minion in its own right. So that explains the list of the Mishnah and why it's not redundant, because each item requires a minion to start, a minion in its own right, and it can't ride on the coattails of the previous item. So this is the list of the Mishnah.
Is that mamish the Haftorah, or we're talking about the Maftir laning?
That's a good question. So if you lose your minion, you wouldn't do the Maftir. If you know you're not going to be doing the Haftorah, you wouldn't do the Maftir either, because the only reason we do the Maftir is to honor the Torah that the person laning the Haftorah, we shouldn't be placing the Haftorah on the same level as the Kriyas HaTorah, so we give him an aliyah to show that, to give honor to the Torah. So when there's no Haftorah, there's no Maftir. Good point, Toby. Now, Minohan Emili, how do we know that these things must be recited with a minion? They can't be recited without a minion. So we have the well-known drasha, Omar Abchiyah Bar Abba, Omar Abirchen, on the Omar Kra, because the Pasuk says, V'nekdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael. The Pasuk says that I shall be sanctified within the midst of Klal Yisrael, of B'nei Yisrael. So now this Pasuk is a loaded Pasuk, V'nekdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael. This is the Pasuk that says that if we're forced, Rachmana Litzlan, to commit, to violate an Aveira publicly, we have to give up our lives. Under certain circumstances, we have to give up our lives. Chilul Hashem, v'nekdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael, it's only in the presence of 10. And as the saying goes, it's easier to, we shouldn't know from it, but it's easier to give up our lives for Kiddush Hashem than it is to live a life of Kiddush Hashem. So what Hashem really wants is that we should live our life of Kiddush Hashem, and that's v'nekdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael. So various times during the day, throughout the day, we have the opportunity to be mekayim Kiddush Hashem. There's something referred to as a Dover Shebikdusha. It's sanctifying Hashem's name. A Dover Shebikdusha, and this needs to be done in the presence of 10, because that's the way, that's a key, and that's a fulfillment of sanctifying Hashem's name. So certain sections of the davening, which are dedicated to sanctifying Hashem's name, Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, Chazor Sashatz, that includes the Kedusha, the Birkas Kohanim, Kriyas HaTorah, the Ran says, the Mishnah Berurah brings, is a Davar Shebikdusha. These things that sanctify Hashem's name have to be done in the presence of 10, because that's a fulfillment of an Ikdashti B'Seich B'nei Yisrael. How do we know that it's 10? My Mashma. So this is the well-known drasha. The Toni Rabchia Asya Toich Toich. We make Gzeirah Shava with the word Toch in the midst of the B'nei Yisrael. It says here that we sanctify Hashem's name within the midst of Bnei Yisrael. The Pasuk says regarding Korach, Hashem says, remove yourself from this congregation. So it says the word mitoch, from the midst of this congregation. Now this congregation was a congregation of bad guys. This was Korach. And then the Pasuk says, Asya Eda Eda. Now we compare the word Eda, a congregation, the Ksif Hasam. It says in yet another Pasuk, Ad Mosai Le Eda Hara Hazos, how Hashem says, how long do I have to bear, do I have to endure this evil congregation? And that was referring to the spies. There were 12 spies. Two of the spies, Yoshua and Kalev, were the good guys, and the other 10 were the bad guys. So when Hashem says, how long do I have to tolerate this Ada? He's referring to the 10 that came back and gave an evil report, a bad report. So Mala Halon Asara, that was 10. Afkan Asara, here also, it's 10. So it's sort of like a chain reaction. The Meraglim were 10. They were referred to as an Ada. It also uses the word Ada regarding Korach. And it says the word Toch, in the midst of that Ada. So when the pasuk says "V'nekdashti misbetoich b'nei Yisrael," we deduce that that means within an Eda of 10. It's interesting, and this is an outstanding question, that the Makar, the source, to sanctify Hashem within B'nai Yisrael, within an Eda of 10, is learned from the sinners, from Korach and from the Meraglim. It's food for thought that we're learning the Eda of Kiddush Hashem from those that actually committed a tremendous Chil Hashem, the Korach who fought against Moshe Rabbeinu and everything he stood for, the Torah, and the Meraglim who, for one reason or another, were trying to prevent us from entering Eretz Yisrael. That's fascinating. But at the end of the day, we sanctify Hashem's name within an Eda of 10. Now, let's get into a bit more detail of Parsin al Shema. It's a fascinating halacha, and I've never actually seen this in practice. Parsin al Shema, when I first read the Mishnah, I translated it loosely, that it's referring to the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu that precedes the Birkas Kriya Shema, which is true, but there's more to it. The Shulchan Aruch says, and it's based on Rashi, the Shulchan Aruch Orach Chaim Simen Samach Tes, in Orach Chaim, in the beginning, in the Hilchos Tevila, it says a fascinating halacha. Im yesh b'nei Adam, this is item Gimel in the notes, Im yesh b'nei Adam she'espalu kol echad b'fnei atzma b'yichad. Imagine if everybody was davening at home. Maybe, why was everybody davening at home? Who knows? Maybe there was a pandemic going on. Maybe people couldn't come to shul. Who knows? Nowadays, it's not such a kasha why everybody was davening at home. If you would have asked me 2 years ago why everybody's davening at home, I would have been hard-pressed to come up with an example. But imagine if everybody davened at home. And then the Gemara goes on, the Mefarshim go on, V'loi shamu loi kaddish v'loi kedusha. So obviously, because everybody davened b'yichidus, they were not able to recite the Kaddish and the Kedusha because we need 10 for that. And then it says that for some reason or another, they chanced upon meeting each other. They all were standing outside and they realized, you know what? We all davened b'yichidus. We didn't have an opportunity to say Kaddish and Baruch Hu. We didn't hear Kedusha. We didn't hear Chazar Sashatz. So says the Mishnah, says the Halacha, this is based on the Mishnah, Oymid echad mehem v'oymer Kaddish. So one of the 10, they all davened already, one of the 10 can get up out of the blue and recite a Kaddish. So the Mefarshim say it's best to say a few psukim beforehand in order we have like a mini psukah de zimra to have what to say the Kaddish on. They recite the Kaddish, they recite the Baruch Hu, and then whoever volunteered to be the chazan would recite the first bracha of Yotzer Or. The first bracha of Kriyashma. Now, they already davened. Everybody already davened b'yechidus, but they missed the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. So says the Shulchan Aruch, and this is based on Rashi's interpretation, this is what Parsin al Shema means. So, of course, it means the simple example of Kaddish and Baruch Hu in the normal format of the davening. But the Chiddush here is that even though everybody davened already b'yechidus, and they chanced upon one another, one of the people could volunteer, could get up, even though they've all davened, recite the Kaddish, recite the Baruch Hu, and then recite the first bracha of Kriya Shema, even though everybody already davened. And this is referred to as Parsin al Shema. Now, what is the word Parsin al Shema? So the Mefarshim explain, Poires is Miloshin Prusa. Prusa is a half. Like a half a loaf of bread is referred to as a Prusa. Kedei Achilas Pras. Pras is half a bread. Or for example, we start to learn the halachas before the Yom Tov, B'prois HaPesach, which according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that means that 15 days before Pesach, B'prois HaPesach, we had it recently in Megillah, B'prois HaPesach, half of the 30 days before Pesach. The word prusa means a half. So explains the Mefarshim, someone gets up, even though we've all davened b'yechidus, someone gets up, recites the Kaddish, recites the Baruch Hu, and recites the first bracha of the Shema, even though we've all davened. What does this accomplish? It facilitates that it gives us an opportunity to be able to hear, to recite the Kaddish, to answer Yehesh Bei Rabbah, to hear a Kaddish, and to say the Baruch Hu. Now, why is it necessary to recite the first bracha of Shema? Everybody davened already. So the Shulchan Aruch explains, the Mefarshim explained, because since the Chazan got up, the ad hoc Chazan got up and recited Baruch Hu, which is a summons, everybody should bless Hashem. So although we recited, although we responded, Baruch Hashem HaMavarech La'olam Voed, but we need to do more than that. In order to respond to the summons of this Chazan, so we have to actually bless Hashem. He said, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMavarech, let's bless Hashem. So although we responded, Baruch Hashem HaMavarech La'olam Voed, we responded, but we need to do more than that. Since he summoned the Tzibor to bless Hashem, we have to actually say the first bracha of Kriya Shema, and that will serve, so to speak, as a filler to fulfill the summons of blessing Hashem. So it's a fascinating concept that we can do this again because we missed the Kaddish and a Baruch Hu. We can have someone summons to bless Hashem, a Kaddish, a Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem HaMavorach, and then the first bracha of Kriya Shema, although everyone davened, in order to be a filler of sorts, in order to fulfill, to respond to the summons of Baruch Hashem HaMavorach. The Ramah actually argues, and the Ramah says, and this is the fine print in item Gimel, nowadays we don't say the first bracha of the Kriya Shema anymore. If this would ever happen, the Ramah argues on the Shulchan Aruch that even though the ad hoc chazan summoned us to be Baruch Hashem HaMavarech, to bless Hashem, it suffices the response, Baruch Hashem HaMavarech Lo'olam Voed. It's not necessary to say the entire first bracha. It's considered that we responded sufficiently with the Baruch Hashem HaMavarech. And the Ramah brings a raya, because every time someone gets an aliyah on the Torah, and he says, Baruch Hashem HaMavarech, everybody responds, Baruch Hashem HaMavarech Lo'olam Voed, and that suffices. So says the Ramah, it's not necessary to recite the first Baruch of Kriya Shema extra. It's considered a good enough response, Baruch Hashem HaMavarech. So someone pointed out, and that's what I was going to say, that if you ever notice, sometimes someone comes late after Ma'ariv and they say Baruch Hu, and people respond. Some people do that, some people don't. In shuls they do, in yeshivas they usually don't. They would prefer not. That could be a kiyum of sorts of being Paris Es Shema, the person missed Baruch Hu, and he's just saying an ad hoc Baruch Hu in order to get the mitzvah to sanctify Hashem's name, Baruch Hu. This is what the Mishnah means when it says, Ein Parsin al Shema with less than 10. That you didn't hear the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. We have this mechanism to make it up, even though everyone davened. Nevertheless, it has to be in the presence of 10. Now, Tosfos in Megillah, there on the spot, brings an interesting Maseches Sofrim. The example that was given was that 10 people davened b'yechidus, and then they were nizdamin, they chanced upon one another, and all of them missed out on the Kaddish of Baruch Hu. So to speak, we have 10 people who are obliged to hear the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu and the first bracha of Kriya Shema, whether we say that or not. We have 10 people that obligated who missed out on the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu, 10 people who are benefiting from the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. That's how the halacha was presented. That's how the Shulchan Aruch presented it. Tosfos in Megillah questions how many people actually have to be obligated in order to justify saying the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu, even though they davened already. So, for example, what if everybody davened already and one person missed out on the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu? Is he allowed to get up and say a Kaddish and a Baruch Hu just for himself in the presence of 10? The way the halacha was presented was that all 10 require the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. How many obligations do we need to justify the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu? So Tosfos in Megillah brings a Maseches Sofrim that there's a whole spectrum of opinions. It's interesting. The first opinion there says you need 10. I didn't cite it here in the notes. The first opinion brought in Maseches Sofrim requires all 10 to need the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. If less than 10 need it, you can't, because one person heard it already. 9 people's not enough. You need 10 obligations. You need a quorum of 10 that are obligated in the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu, that missed the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu, in order to justify saying a Kaddish and a Baruch Hu. That's the first opinion. The second opinion says that all you need, Rabbi Seinu Sheba Mayrif, this is item Dalit, 7. You need 7. You have to have 10 people in the room present, but only 7 of the 10 need to hear the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. If 7 out of the 10 miss the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu, so then that justifies getting up and saying an extra Kaddish and Baruch Hu. Some say 6. Rabbeinu Tam says 5. You only need half of the 10 to need the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. Only 5 out of the 10 miss the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. As long as you're in the presence of 10, that justifies saying Kaddish and Baruch Hu. Another opinion says 3. Now, it's interesting. It's based on a pasuk there. The 3, it reminds me of like a mezumin. You need at least a core group of 3 to require the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. You need at least 3 people missed out on the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. And because 3 people are obligated, it's a mezumin of sorts. That can justify saying the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu in the first Baruch of Kriya Shema in the presence of 10. It's not necessary that all 10 people need to hear it. All 10 people missed it. As long as 3 people missed it, 3 people need to hear it, that justifies a Kaddish and a Baruch Hu in the first bracha of the Kriya Shema. And finally, it's brought in the name of the Talmidim of Rashi, in the name of their Rebbe Rashi, and this is the base halacha. Even if only 1 of the 10 needs to hear a Kaddish and Baruch Hu because he's the only one who missed it, they all davened already. Imagine if there were 11 or 12 people in the congregation. They all davened already. He runs in late. 1 person missed the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. That would already justify the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu to say it in the presence of 10. And that's the basic halacha, like Rashi, like the Talmidim of Rashi, that's the minhag, that even if only 1 person missed it, you can do that. Now, we'll continue. This is referring to the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. We're gonna continue. We're gonna talk about the Chazaras HaShatz in a minute. But this is the basic halacha of the Parson al Shema, the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. Now, what exactly is the crux of the issue? How many people do you need to say the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu? How many? You need 10. You need the presence of 10. But how many obligations, so to speak, are required to create the quorum to justify the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu? The first opinion says you need 10. Why does the first opinion say you need 10? You need 10 people who missed, who are obligated to recite the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. Why? Because the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu is an obligation on the Tzibur. So in order to justify saying the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu, you need to have 10 people who missed it, who are required, and then we can create the obligation to say Kaddish and Baruch Hu. It's not enough that you're in the presence of 10. You need to create the obligation to say it. Otherwise, it would be like a bracha lebatala. You have to create the obligation. The first opinion says you can create the obligation only if you have 10 people who missed, who need to hear the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. The second opinion says you need 7. 7 is referred to as a ruba de minkar. It's a noticeable row, which means that it's double the minority. You have 10 people altogether. 3 people heard it already. You have twice as many, more than twice as many people who necessitate the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. That's referred to as a ruba de minkar. That can define that you have a tzibur that's obligated to hear the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu, because a super majority of the tzibur needs to hear the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. A ruba de minkar. The second opinion says all you need is 6. The third opinion, actually. All you need is 6. Why? Because all you need is a simple majority. If you have a simple majority of the 10, that is considered that you have enough obligation that you have a tzibur, and therefore you would be able to recite the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. So these 3 opinions. The first opinion, you require 10 obligations, an accumulation of 10. The next opinion, you need 7. The next opinion, you need 6. All of these opinions hold that it's a chiyuv on the tzibur, that the tzibur is obligated. You need a chiyuv on the tzibur to say the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. And the question is, how much of the tzibur do you need to consider it that you have an entire tzibur that's obligated? When you get to the fourth opinion, the opinion of a mezumin of 3, that means that it's not a chiyuv on the tzibur. All you need is basically a few individuals that are obligated. And finally, the last opinion in the name of the Talmidim of Rashi, all you need is one person who needs to hear the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. If nobody needs to hear it, if everybody davened in the minyan and already heard the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu, then there's no justification to say an extra Kaddish and Baruch Hu. Everybody was Yotze already. But as long as there's one person who needs to hear the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu, as long as he's in the presence of 10, it's more of like a tenai. It's like a condition. One person is already obligated. One person can create the obligation for himself on condition that it's in the presence of 10. So the first few opinions hold that you need a tzibur to create the obligation. The last opinion, the second and third opinion, especially the third and fourth opinion, especially the fourth opinion, the minhag of Rashi, is that it's a single obligation. It's a private obligation. Each person is obligated to respond to a Kaddish and a Kedusha, and if one person requires it, as long as it's in the presence of 10, he can recite the Kaddish and the Kedusha. Now, the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say in item Hey that these 10 people who already davened, so you can get someone can initiate a Kaddish and a Baruch Hu in the first bracha of Kriya Shema. Then the Shulchan Aruch continues that this ad hoc chazen could now recite the Avos, the Gvurois, and the Kedusha, the first three brachas of Shmoneh Esrei, Beata Kadosh. The Avos, the Gvurois, Kedusha, and then the Ata Kaddish, the Shulchan Aruch Davin Tzvard, or you have the Ashkenazic Nusach of the Kehel Kaddish, the third bracha of the Shmoneh Esrei. Someone can get up and recite those three brachas in order to facilitate a Kedusha. And this is referred to as Oivir L'fnei HaTeva. So again, the Shulchan Aruch says that when the Mishnah in Megillah says Parson al Shema, it doesn't just mean Kaddish and Baruch Hu in the normal context. It means the 10 people who already davened, they can regroup and daven the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. We just learned, even if one person requires it, we can do it with him if we have 10. And the Shulchan Aruch learns that when the Mishnah says Ein Oivir L'fnei HaTeva, that you cannot recite Chazaras HaShatz without a minyan, the Shulchan Aruch learns that that's also in this case where if one person missed the Kedusha, so we can justify a Chazaras HaShatz in order to give that individual the opportunity to say a Kedusha. So you don't require 10 obligations to facilitate to trigger the Chazaras HaShatz. All you need is one obligation and it can be recited in the Tzibur. Now, the next item, Vav, I put it in brackets because it's not relevant to the point that I'm trying to bring out with this shir, but it's a very important point because we actually don't agree with the way the Shulchan Aruch puts down the halacha. It's fascinating. The Mishnah Berurah brings that most of the Achroinim side with the Radbaz. The Radbaz has a fascinating analogy. The Radbaz says that he doesn't agree with the way this halacha is being presented. Because the way the halacha was presented was that all 10 people already davened on their own. That means that everybody is already finished davening. Says the Radbaz, and he has an analogy, once everybody finished davening, there's nothing left of the davening. In other words, it's too late to make up a Kaddish and a Baruch Hu or a Chazaras HaShatz if everybody finished davening. That's it. They disbanded already. The davening's over. And he has an interesting analogy. He says, the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that when three people eat together, they bench with a mezumin. But what if the people forgot? They didn't realize they had a zimun and they benched already. So it's too late. You can't do a mezumin now if you already benched. The Gemara's expression is, porach zimun minayu. The obligation to have a zimun flew away. It's gone. It dissipated. Because the zimun is before you bench. If you benched already, you can't, there's no way to fulfill your obligation of a zimun. The opportunity dissipated, the opportunity flew away. So the Radbaz says, and it's an interesting analogy, the Radbaz says that the same thing applies to Kaddish and Baruch Hu and Chazaras HaShatz. The obligation, the ability to recite Kaddish Baruch Hu, the first bracha of Shema, and the Chazaras HaShatz with the Kedusha, is only if it's associated with a obligation to daven. It has to be attached to the obligation to daven. We all know, we all realize that the Chazaras HaShatz is after we all daven Shmoneh Esrei already, obviously. But we all daven together. It's a package. It goes together with the fact that everybody was obligated to daven Shmoneh Esrei. But if everybody already daven Shmoneh Esrei, Porach Minayu Kaddish the Kedusha. He makes that analogy to the Zimun, to the Mizumin of the benching, and he says that the ability to fulfill Kaddish Kedusha and Chazaras HaShatz with the Kedusha flew away. You disband it. You have to come to the table with an obligation to at least daven. If you davened already, then essentially you disbanded, you unraveled, the minion unraveled, there's nothing tying you together. It's no longer possible to pick up the slack and fulfill the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu and the Chazaras HaShatz with the Kedusha, because there's nothing left of your davening. Only if you're coming to the table needing to daven, that's what creates the tziruf, that's what creates the combination of the ten, and then you can talk about saying the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu and the Chazaras HaShatz. So we have to sort of modify what we said until now, because we're deviating slightly from the way the Shulchan Aruch presented it. According to the Rabbaz, we still agree with Rashi that only one person requires the Kaddish, the Kedusha, and the Chazaras HaShatz justify saying it, but he had to have not davened already. If all 10 people come to the table already having davened, Porach Minayu Kaddish the Kedusha. There's nothing left. It's gone. You disbanded, you unraveled, and there's nothing combining you as a minion of 10. But if at least one person didn't daven yet, then he could get up, or somebody can get up on his behalf because of Kol Yisrael Arevim. He could get up, say Kaddish, Baruch Hu, the first bracha out loud. He can continue davening, and then he can recite the first three brachas out loud, like a Hecha Kedusha, the way we some people do, and with the Kedusha, because since he needs it, like we said before, he can fulfill all of these obligations in the presence of Ten. That's the opinion of the Radbaz, and that's how most Afoinim Paskin. So basically, we're Paskinning like we've been saying, we're just modifying it, that at least one of the 10 needs to have not already davened. Otherwise, there's nothing grouping you together. You can't have a freestanding Kaddish and Baruch Hu and Chazaras HaShatz. It has to be attached, associated with an obligation to daven. Now, someone pointed out that in Sfarad Shemanyanim, especially Friday night, it's sometimes incorporated in the davening to say a Baruch Hu. So that must be a minhag to be moitzi the people. There's like an assumption that somebody missed the Baruch Hu. But theoretically, it's like reciting Kiddush Friday night in shul. Theoretically, if there are no guests, we really can't recite Kiddush. But the minhag was grandfathered in because guests used to require that Kiddush, so it was incorporated just as part of the davening. We pretend that there's somebody who needs the Kiddush. The same thing applies over here, that the Baruch Hu, the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu that's recited at the end of Ma'ariv routinely in the Sfaradish Minyanim, it's like sort of the Kiddush and Shul Friday night. It's based on the assumption that somebody needs it, and even if everybody heard it already, we would do it anyway because it's already grandfathered in, it's incorporated to the curriculum of the davening, to the context of the davening. But the idea is to be moitzi someone who needs it. Now, the Darkei Moshe, which is the Ramah, wrote a Sefer Darkei Moshe on the tour, a fascinating opinion from the Tshuvas Marimitz. We just explained that the first part of the Mishnah is the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. The second part of the Mishnah is the Chazaras HaShatz. The Darkei Moshe actually argues on the Shulchan Aruch, and he doesn't argue, he brings a Shitas Marimitz, who argues on the Shulchan Aruch, and the Darkei Moshe says the following. This is item Zion. It's mashma from the words of the Marimitz. The lo yecholim lachzer ulaspal. You can never recite Chazaras HaShatz eliim kein hayusham asarish lo yaspalu unless there are 10 people who require the Chazaras HaShatz. There are 10 people who have not yet heard the Kedusha or the Chazaras HaShatz elsewhere. Only prisishma. Only when it comes to the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu do the Geonim, do the Poskim argue in the Maseches Sofrim, if you need 10 or 7 or 6 or 5 or 3 or even 1. That's when you can recite a Kaddish and Baruch Hu, even if only one requires it, like the Minhag to follow Rashi. But Chazaras HaShatz says the Amari Mintz, you need 10 who need it. We require 10 mispalim to be able to recite the Chazaras HaShatz. However, says the Darkei Moshe, the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch argues. We read the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch holds that Chazaras HaShatz is the same as Kaddish and Baruch Hu. Just like you have opinions 7, 6, 5, 3, 1 is enough to justify the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. So too, 7, 6, 5, 3, 1, we pass them like Rashi, 1, even one requirement, one person who needs it, is already enough in the presence of 10 to justify a Chazaras HaShatz with a Kaddish and a Baruch Hu and a Kedusha in order to give him a kiyum of the Nekdashti B'Sech B'nei Yisrael. Says the Darkei Moshe, because it's all just Davar Shebikdusha. Just like all you need is one obligated person to say the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu, you only need one obligated person to justify the recital of the Chazaras HaShatz. So we argue, so we have over here a machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and this opinion, the Remintz, if Chazaras HaShatz requires 10 obligations, or does it suffice that one person needs it? So the Igros Moshe, so Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Archaim Simen Chaf Ches, he has three tshuvas there, one after another, all discussing this issue. He explains the shita of the Remintz, that the Remintz holds that Chazaras HaShatz is very different than Kaddish and Baruch Hu. Kaddish and Baruch Hu is a chiyuv of being with Kaddish. It's a Darvish Epikdusha that we follow Rashi's opinion that if one person needs it, it justifies saying the Kaddish and the Kedusha, the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu in the presence of ten. But Chazaras HaShatz is a Chovas Tzibur, like we mentioned before, and that requires 10 people who are obligated to hear the Chazaras HaShatz. It's not just a mechanism to say Kedusha. Kaddish and Baruch Hu is just a mechanism to say Kedusha. If one person needs Kaddish and Baruch Hu, get together 10 people, you can recite the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu. It's a Davar Shebikdusha. The minyan is just to facilitate the person getting in the obligation of Kaddish and Baruch Hu. Chazaras HaShatz is not just a tool, it's not merely a mechanism to be able to say Kedusha. Chazaras HaShatz is a Tefillah B'Tzibur, and the Tefillah B'Tzibur requires 10 mispalim. You need 10 people who require that Chazaras HaShatz. It's not just a hechatimsa, it's not just a kli, it's not just a vehicle to be able to say Kedusha, it's a Tefillah B'Tzibur, and a Tefillah B'Tzibur requires 10 mispalim. That's the opinion of the Remintz. However, the Shulchan Aruch disagrees. The Shulchan Aruch holds that we can use the Chazaras HaShatz as simply a vehicle to enable the Yachid to say Kedusha, and even if you don't have 10 mispalim, you only have one at the end, one person can get up and be Poiris al Shema and say the first three brachas out loud of the Shmoneh Esrei, give himself the chance to say Kedusha, as long as it's in the presence of 10. It's not an obligation on the Tzibor, it's an obligation on every Yachid. So that's the Machlokes, the Shulchan Aruch and the Amari Mintz, and we paskin like the Shulchan Aruch. Now, we paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, that all you need is one person who requires the Kaddish and the Kedusha and the Baruch Hu and even the Kedusha to be able to get up and say the three brachas. The Magen Avraham says like this. The Magen Avraham says that if everybody else already davened, we're not discussing that six people didn't daven. Everybody davened. And one person comes running in, he didn't hear the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu and the Kedusha, so he can get up and say the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu, the bracha out loud, then he can, the Magen Avraham recommends, he should immediately start the Shmoneh Esrei, the first three brachas, the way we do a Heicha Kedusha. Yeshivas do that with Mincha in order to start the Seder on time. We immediately start the three brachas. And the Magen Avraham explains, because what's the point of this individual davening a whole Shmoneh Esrei Balachash and then repeating the Shmoneh Esrei if you don't have a Tzibur anyway? He's only doing it in order to facilitate the Kedusha. So just use his own private Shmoneh Esrei to facilitate the Kedusha. Say the first three brachas out loud, the way we have a Heicha Kedusha, and he'll recite the Kedusha with the Tzibur, Ba'asara, and then he'll continue his own private Shmoneh Esrei. There's no point in reciting the Shmoneh Esrei Balachash and then having a whole Chazaras HaShatz. The whole point is just to say the Kedusha, so you can do it that way. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskens, and that's what the Magen Avraham recommends. So we have a fundamental machlokes here. if there's such a thing as a Chazaras HaShatz just for the purpose of facilitating a Kedusha, the Mari Mintz argues and says there's no such thing. Chazaras HaShatz with the Kedusha is a Tfilat Tzibur, and you need to have 10 Mispalim. But we don't paskin like that. We paskin like the Shulchan Aruch and the Darkei Moshe and the Magen Avraham, that as long as one person needs it, he can get up and say the first three brachas out loud with the Kedusha. There's no point in having the whole Chazaras HaShatz because it's just to enable the Kedusha, but you could say it out loud and do the Kedusha. I remember when I was in the Kuel in Miami, there was a person who on occasion would come in. We were in the middle of Second Seder learning. The person would go running in, and he would just, without really even asking, because it really was a little disruptive, he would just get up and start saying the first three brachas out loud, and he would expect everybody to get up and answer along the Kedusha, and then he would continue his own private Shemoneh Esrei, and then he would say Kedusha after, he would say Kaddish after, and Aleinu. I'm not sure if the Olam appreciated it every time, but that's the only time I ever saw this happen. I never saw anybody just getting up and saying the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu and the first Bracha and the Chazaras HaShatz. I never saw it anywhere else. But that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, something similar to this machlekes, and this is my analogy, something similar to this machlekes between the Darkei Moshe, the Mari Mintz, and the Shulchan Aruch, if Chazaras HaShatz needs 10 mispalim because it's a chayvas tzibur, or does it suffice to have one because it's merely a davish habikdusha, there's a similar machlekes in item Yud Aleph, Kuf Chaf Dalet in Shulchan Aruch. The halacha is like this. The halacha, it says, let me back up to item Yud in the notes. The halacha is like this. In Shulchan Aruch Simen Nun Hei Siv Vav, a fascinating halacha, you want to say Kaddish, you need a minion. You want to say Baruch Hu, you need a minion. What if some person is davening Shemoneh Esrei already? He's davening early. You're not supposed to do that. But he got up to daven Shemoneh Esrei early. So he's not interacting with the tzibur. He's not responding. He's not listening to the Kaddish or the Baruch Hu that's going on around him, because he's davening Shemoneh Esrei. Or imagine if somebody fell asleep. He's sitting there by his chair. You know, people are reluctant to wake him up. Maybe he's snoring. It's a little bit embarrassing. But you have the whole tzibur, and one person fell asleep. He's sitting in his chair and he fell asleep. Can the tzibur go on with the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu? You need to have 10. Does it count if the person is sleeping in the room? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins based on a maril that it counts. You have 10 people in the room. You have 10 bodies in the room. Somebody is sleeping. Somebody is davening, doing his own thing. He's not responding. It counts. You have 10 people in the room. You can say Kaddish and you can say Baruch Hu. The problem is, that's what it says in Simen Nunhe. The problem is that the same Shulchan Aruch in Simen Kuf Chaf Dalin, when he's speaking about Chazaras HaShatz, the Shulchan Aruch brings from the Tshuvas HaRosh, and this is item Yud Aleph. Gesheshliach Tzibur Chozer HaTfilah, when you're doing Chazaras HaShatz, the Kahal needs to be quiet. They can't be talking. They need to be quiet. They need to concentrate on what's being said. It's difficult. Listening, you have to keep an ear, you have to listen to the Chazaras HaShatz, and you have to be mechaven to answer Amen. And the Shulchan Aruch says a very strong statement. If the Chazan is davening the Chazaras HaShatz, and you don't have 10 people listening, Karov Liyos Berkoisiv Levatal. So the Shulchan Aruch comes out, and this is the words of the Rush. It's almost a Bracha Levatal. It's hard to know what he means when he says it's almost a Bracha Levatal, but it's a very strong statement. It's almost a bracha levatala. You need 10 people who are listening to the brachas. Otherwise, it's almost a bracha levatala. Therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, everybody should treat it as if he's one of the core 10 listening. Don't rely on anybody else. Everybody should look at it as if it depends on him. And that way you'll have 9 people listening together with the chazan, and you'll have 10 people that are hearkening, are listening in to the Chazaras HaShatz. Otherwise, it's almost a bracha levatala. So it would seem that these two halachas, the halacha of the Shulchan Aruch in Nun Hei, that even if somebody in the congregation is sleeping, he still counts towards the 10, and you can recite the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu, it seems that that would be a contradiction with what it says in Kuf Chaf Dalet, that the Chazaras HaShatz needs 10 people, 9 people listening, 10 people altogether participating, listening and answering Amen. Otherwise, it's almost a bracha levatala. How do we reconcile these two opinions of the Shulchan Aruch, one after the other? The Magen Avraham brings the Maril, as we said before, that even if one person is sleeping, it counts towards the minyan. And the Magen Avraham addresses this contradiction. This is item Yud Beis in the notes. Even though the Rosh says that you need nine people along with the Chazan concentrating on the Chazaras HaShatz, like it says in Kuf Chaf Dalid, otherwise it's almost the Brachal of Atala, says the Magen Avraham, that's obviously not the Minhag. Because we see that even if you have a habitual talker, a shul talker, he talks during davening. You have an habitual, somebody who's mesiach, someone that he talks during the Chazaras HaShatz, he doesn't pay attention, we still count them as a minyan. So the Magen Avraham notes, based on the Maril, that the minhag is to count the person anyway. So says the Magen Avraham, it's a contradiction. In Nun Hei, you can even count somebody who's sleeping. In Kuf Chaf Dalet, we're all encouraged to listen as best we can, because you need 10 people all together participating in the Chazaras HaShatz. Says the Magen Avraham, the Ikur Halacha is like it says in Nun Hei, that even if a person is sleeping, he still counts. You really don't need everybody listening to the Chazaras HaShatz. As long as you have 10 people in the room, it's okay. That is the main Halacha, says the Magen Avraham. The only reason the Shulchan Aruch brings Kuf Chaf Dalet is only because that's the rush, because he's being machmir. He's being machmir that you have to have nine people listening. But the core halacha, the letter of the law, is that it suffices to have 10 people in the room. Even one person can be sleeping. There's a whole debate. What if more than one person is sleeping? Okay. The pre-Megadim in Yud Gimel, and I bring in item Yud Gimel, argues on the Magen Avraham and says no, that maybe there's a difference between Kaddish and Baruch Hu and Chazaras HaShatz. Kaddish and Baruch Hu, you only have to have 10 bodies in the room, and even if someone is sleeping, it counts as 10, and you can say Kaddish and Baruch Hu. But the Chazaras HaShatz needs to have 10 people participating, the Chazan and 9 people concentrating and answering Amen. There's a difference between Chazaras HaShatz and Kaddish and Baruch Hu. Now, what could the difference be? We could simply say, because since you're saying Chazaras HaShatz, there are brachas, it's a question of a bracha levatala, maybe we're stricter. But we also could explain it along the lines of what we've been saying before. Because Kaddish and Baruch Hu is merely a tool of a Davish of Ikdusha. But Chazaras HaShatz, even though we already established that the custom is to follow Rashi like the Shulchan Aruch, even when it comes to Chazaras HaShatz, that one person who needs to hear it justifies saying it b'tzibor, but maybe to a certain extent, it's still a tefilas tzibor. So you have to have 10 people participating, even though they've davened already and they've heard it already, but you need them to listen to the chazan because you need 10 people listening to the Chazaras HaShatz. So the same machlokes we had before, between how many people do we require needing the Davar Shevek Dusha to allow, to justify saying it. We had before. Some people say that you need 10 people for the Kaddish and Baruch Hu. 10 people need to hear it. 10 people need to be obligated to hear it in order to justify saying it. We don't pass like that. We pass that you only need one person who's obligated to hear it to justify saying it in the presence of 10. The Mari Mintz held, Chazaras HaShatz needs 10 obligations in order to justify saying it. The Shulchan Aruch holds, you only need the same 6 or 5 or 1 to justify saying it. We brought from Rav Moshe that the root of the machlekes is it merely a davar shebekdusha, a vehicle to say kedusha, or is it a tefillah b'tzibor? The Marim Mintz held was a tefillah b'tzibor. We require the entire tzibor to be obligated in the Chazaras HaShatz. We paskin, you only need one. But this is like a parallel machlekes. How many people need to be listening to the Chazaras HaShatz? The Magen Avraham says, technically, 6 is enough. Maybe the more the better, but technically 6 is enough. The Rush and the Prima Gadim, based on Kuf Chaf Dalet, say that Chazaras HaShatz is different. Chazaras HaShatz needs 10 people listening because it needs to be a semblance of a tefillah b'tzibor. Now, we're coming to the end. The Gemara in Brachis on Daf Ches is speaking about something totally different. The Gemara in Brachis on Daf Ches talks about the Maila of Tefillah B'Tzibur. The Pasuk says, Ani Tefilasi L'cho Hashem Eis Ratzon. When is the Tefillah accepted if a Tzibur is davening? Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina brings a different Pasuk. Koy Amar Hashem Be'Eis Ratzon Inisicha. Hashem promises to answer us if we have a minyan davening. Tefillah B'Tzibur. Rabbi Acha Rabbi Chanina says, Hein kel kamer b'loyimas. Hashem does not reject the tefillah of a tzibur. There's a special mila in the tefillah of a tzibur. So we always debate, should I go to minyan, should I not go to minyan? So besides the technical obligation, yishtadel, a person should try, make an effort to go to minyan, but a person should realize that his tefillah is more readily accepted when it's a tefillah of a tzibur. Forget about the minishu of whether he's obligated to daven with a minyan or not. Simply for it's practical advice. The tefillah is better accepted, more readily accepted in the presence of a minyan. The Achronim, and this is like a million-dollar question, the Achronim, and it's almost like it's undecided, the Achronim debate whether davening with six mispalim, or even like Rashi, one mispal, it justifies the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu, and perhaps even the Chazaras HaShatz. Do you have the advantage of a tefillah b'tzibur, or is it only to enable you to daven and say Chazaras HaShatz? A big question. Is this just a technicality to be able to say the Kaddish and the Kedusha and the Chazaras HaShatz? Or does this give you the advantage that the tefillah is readily accepted? What's the difference? So besides the obvious difference, if we have the guarantee that the tefillah is accepted, there's also a practical halachic difference. We know if a person comes late to shul, he's allowed to skip certain parts of Psuka de Zimra in order to start the Shmona Esrei with the Tzibur. It's Kedai. It's worthwhile to get the Maila of tefillah with Tzibur. What if you know that only six people are going to be davening and the other four are just standing around? Am I allowed to skip in order to get to that type of Shmona Esrei? Or that's not considered a tefillah b'tzibur anyway. It's just a technicality to be able to say the Kaddish and the Kedusha, and I'll hear the Kaddish and Kedusha also, but there's no reason to skip and interfere with my order of davening just to start with everybody else. It's not a minyan anyway. That's one question. And the other question is, sometimes you find when the chazan gets up to tefillah kel elyon, he looks around to see if he's going to start with the minyan. Some shuls are makbid about that, and some shuls are not. Do we have the? Should we wait around for everybody to catch up to start to an esrei simultaneously, or is it not necessary? So these are fundamental questions. If you have six people davening, that justifies davening to an esrei and having a full chazaras hashatz. We do it all the time. Does that have the advantage of a tefillah b'tzibur, or is it simply a technicality that we're allowed to say the Chazaras HaShatz? And the nafkamina, besides whether or not the tefillah has a promise to be accepted, the technical nafkamina, the technical differences would be, is it kedai, do I have to rush to start along at the tzibur, or is it considered tefillah b'tzibur anyway? So there's a mashmois in the Chayyadam that the Mishnah Berurah brings in Simen Tzadi, that tefillah b'tzibur requires, to have the full advantage of tefillah b'tzibur, it requires 10 people that are actually davening together. The Magen Avraham in Simen Samach Tes would seem to imply that six people davening is already considered a tefillah b'tzibur. And this has to do with what we were discussing, is the tefillah, is this just a way of giving you the hechatimsa to say Kaddish and Kedusha and Baruch Hu, or is this actually a fulfillment of tefillah b'tzibur? The Rambam says, and this is the last item, the Rambam says in Hilchas Tefillah, Periches Halacha Dalet, what is considered tefillah b'tzibur? So that the Rambam discusses a chazan saying the Shmona Esrei out loud. One person is davening out loud, everybody's listening. As a side, it sounds like the rush that everybody has to be listening. This can't be done with less than 10. And the Rambam goes on to say, even if only the majority of the people are davening and four people are just complementing the quorum, this counts as a tefillah tzibur. So the Rambam would seem to imply that it has the full advantage of a tefillah tzibur. Rav Moshe Feinstein, although in Svara he holds that you would require 10 people to be a tefillah tzibur, but the Rambam implies that the majority of the tzibur also has the advantage of a tefillah tzibur. I saw in the Sefer Tshuvos VaHanhagos from Rav Sternbach that it's better, at least if the other four people are engaged in some kind of inyan tefillah. They're listening, like the Rambam says, or they're reciting Tehillim or Psuka de Zimra. Sometimes you have people are behind, six people get up to daven Shmona Esrei, the other people are still saying Shema. At least they're engaged in some inyani tefillah. That would have the Maila of tefillah b'tzibur. So again, this is an undecided issue. Some shuls wait for 10 to start. Some shuls don't. The poskim say that it's not if it's going to get people aggravated, if it's going to get people, if the minyan becomes sort of like unreliable because of that, because you're always waiting, then it's not kedai. If possible, it's better to have 10 people starting. It's undecided, but there's enough support to assume that 6 people and 4, it does give you the advantage of tefillah b'tzibur as well. And therefore, that can be relied upon. The Rambam's opinion can be relied upon. And what should I say? Our tefillah should be answered, and we should only have Yeshuas and Refuas and Abbi Eskoyo. Yashikoyach, everybody.